Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
This is Goop Yourself, the podcast where we talk about everything Goop. I'm Brian Rucker.
I'm Agnes Hewitt.
And do you know what this week commemorates?
Yeah.
Goop's 15th anniversary.
Which I thought was like a couple of weeks ago, because that big New York Times article that I talked about, I guess it was last week.
Last week.
But was about that too.
Yeah, I think I did not research when the exact date that she sent out that first newsletter was.
I mean, I guess it was this week, because
I guess so.
This was the week that Goop really talked about it, and then last week it was just like the New York Times was like for once in their lives ahead of a story.
That's true. They finally, I mean, they have been, I guess, pretty busy with certain things that are happening around the world, but they still made time for good old Goop.
That's right.
Oh, I didn't read it, but Taffy Broadisar Akner did like a whole, I read like the first paragraph, a whole article about her going to the Taylor Swift show with her son. It seemed like it would have been a fun article, but I got distracted and I didn't read it.
Oh, she went to Eras tour.
She went up in Northern California when they did it at like the Santa Clara Stadium. I guess that must have been a few months ago.
Well, that sounds good. I'm going to the movie tomorrow, so I'll report.
Oh yeah, I am not going. I won't go to the movie until A-list, because I don't think it will. She's, you know, bypassed the studio system. Yeah,
I don't think it's gonna be on the A-list.
Maybe I'll go. It's like a once in a lifetime opportunity. I don't know.
I mean, if I didn't like Taylor Swift, there's no way in hell I would go. And tickets were not cheap for a movie.
It's a regular movie. Isn't it like $20 or whatever my regular movie price is, or is it more?
Mine was more, but it was like I got the Dolby.
Oh yeah. Well, you got to.
But it was $30.
Jesus. Especially, I mean, it's so long. I'm like, if it's a long movie over like two and a half hours, I'm only seeing it if it's a reclining seat. I will not go.
I think you should only like I love Taylor Swift. Like, if I didn't like her or care about her, there's no way, like, I wouldn't waste my time.
And I don't dislike Taylor Swift. I like a lot of her music. I just am not like passionate about her. But
last
I do feel
you were like, I hate Taylor
Swift. I never said I hate Taylor Swift. You were putting words in my mouth.
Okay.
I really never said that. I enjoy her as a songwriter. I don't really understand why people are saying, oh, she's like the best songwriter of her generation or whatever. That I definitely wouldn't go that far. But I think she has some clever lyrics. Like, that's as far as I'll go.
Yeah, I mean, so why would you sit through 3 hours?
Because of the cult, it's a cultural event, and
I love that everyone's like, it's a cultural moment, I have to go, even though
I don't know, it's interesting. Like, if I went, I mean, I probably should have gone this weekend, because I guess the diehards will go week after week, but it would be interesting to sit in the theater, because they also say, like, you get like your friendship bracelets. They've stopped prosecuting people with cell phones. So like people are taking pictures and shooting movies, and it seems like a communal experience. And then of course I'll be the weird, you know, 40-year-old guy, but I think there's a lot of 40-year-old people probably that are there.
I mean, I'm going.
Yeah, but you're a woman, so I feel like it's
and
a
also
less...
no one at my school, everyone is shocked when I'm like, no, I'm 38. They're like, that's insane.
Yeah.
And there are other people who are like my age and they're like, I can't believe you're the same age as them. They're so much more mature than you, but I think it's just because they can tell I'm poor. But, you know, whatever.
Poverty signifies youthfulness because you can never look like, you know, you always
never look like that together. So you don't look like their parents because I've, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're not their parents' age. That's, I mean, that's a step too far. You're right. Like their cool older sister.
Yeah, I'm way older.
Half sister from half like sister. The dad's first marriage.
Yeah, basically. It's fine.
Yeah, well, you look great. You're doing your skincare. You're getting.
I'm not actually, which is on my list. I'm gonna get to, but.
I mean, you're getting less sun out there, so maybe skincare is not quite as important.
My skin is fucked up, but I'll save it because okay. I have it on my list. Was there a new receipt this week?
No, there wasn't. Which I honestly was thankful for because we spent, I felt honestly a little bad about how much time we spent last week on the receipt. Cause
I didn't feel bad about it at all. I thought that that was the most fun. I like love talking about the receipt.
It is fascinating.
Especially because I never read it and I love just like you telling me about it. I just think it's fun, but maybe it's just fun for me.
It is fun. I mean, it does take, I do have to say it takes a lot of research, not research. It's just like they're so long. It takes me so long to read one of them and then like take notes about it.
It just makes me think about mine. And like, if I were to do a receipt, I think everybody's brain would explode.
I do think just the act of like writing down every single thing you eat and drink for an entire week, everyone's diet is going to look insane. Like there's no way around it. Like no matter what you do, if you go out to eat a lot, if you cook a lot, if you're just grabbing snacks all the time, like there's no way to not look crazy, I think.
And also there have been people who haven't looked too crazy, and those people were just boring.
Exactly. You want the crazy.
Yeah.
I did. I told you, I like made, I thought a pretty innocuous comment on Instagram about the receipt. I just said something like, oh, this is a crazy one. Like really good job. Bon appetit. And then someone, an anonymous Instagram user who I think both of us suspect might be the woman, the teacher from Eugene. If you are not a member of our Patreon, there is no better time to join just to get all the context to what we were talking about last week. But she got very defensive. She said, well, what's crazy about that? And then, you know, I gave a couple of examples of her insanity, and I got a few likes, and she shut the fuck up after I gave the receipts to her insanity.
Interesting.
But she did influence me in one very important way.
How's that?
Since then, I've been obsessed with doing the New York Times connections every morning.
Me too. I've done it every night at midnight. I do the new one.
I win
every single one.
Not me. You are a smarter person than me, because I also do it like as I'm half, like it's my alarm goes off and then I reach for my phone. And then when I used to scroll Twitter, now I click on the connections and I do it in like a half conscious haze. So yeah. Maybe that's an excuse. Maybe I'm just stupid, but there's definitely been a few days where I haven't gotten them.
I thought yesterday's, I don't really remember what it was, but I thought it was particularly hard.
I think that might be the one that I think I got zero. Like I didn't even get the first row. Like I got nothing.
Hmm.
I haven't done today's yet. I forgot to do. I really had a tough time sleeping last night because I got into an altercation with someone on the tennis court.
Tell us.
Not a fellow player. It was, well, okay. So sorry. Maybe I'm the asshole. I don't know. You be the judge. So typically
AITA.
So there's a guy, we're playing on a court and there's like bleachers outside the court, and it's okay if you know people sit down and watch or whatever, like whatever, it's fine, it's public property. But this guy, first of all, he was like on his phone and he was like talking really loud, and then he would be like, oh, great shot, like good serve to us, which is like a little weird because we're just like a, you know, few schmoes like plant, like it's not, I don't know, it's just a little odd, but I'm like, okay, whatever, like he's just into it. Then he climbs over the fence and like just starts, like he's just on the court, like he climbs over the fence onto the court as I'm serving. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you're on. And he's like, oh, just a minute. Like, hold on. And he crosses across the court. And then there's a bench that separates our court from the court next to us. And he just sits down on the bench on the court watching us. And I was like, hey, like, don't do that. Like, if you want to watch, cool, but like, be on the bleachers, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just weird to be on our court.
Because, like, you rent the court.
Yeah, we rent the court. It's, you know, it's a public court, but we rent it for 2 hours. I just never experienced anything like that before. And he had a tennis racket in his hand. And I thought, okay, is this guy crazy? Like, I don't know. He didn't seem crazy. He seemed awkward. And I think coming away from the, not altercation, but the encounter, I do think maybe he was like on the spectrum or something. Because finally I was like, hey, like, don't watch us from here, blah, blah. So then he just turns around and he's still on the bench, but he's just watching the people on the court next to us instead of us. And this is when I started to feel guilty. Instead of reacting like I did, and I was like, get off our court, they were like, oh, hey, want to join us?
Oh, God.
Which is what I think he was after the whole time, even though he never said, hey, do you mind if I play for a little bit? Or maybe he's just not a verbal person and it's some sort of spectrumy thing, but he totally. So then he and there was two women on the court next to us, and they just were playing the whole time. And then I started feeling guilty. Like, am I an asshole? Am I like gatekeeping tennis? Is this why people are turning to pickleball? Because people are such assholes who play tennis. And I was like spiraling, and I didn't play well. So.
That's so funny.
But he wasn't, there were four of us, we were playing doubles. So it would have been also weird. Like, it wouldn't have been easy to like let him play with us anyway. I don't know how I would have said, I think I would have said, if he's like, hey, like, I don't have anyone to play with, is it cool? I would have been like, oh, like, you know, we have a full roster today, but like, let me get your number. And then next time we need a sub, I'll call it. Like, I would have maybe been nice enough to do that. I don't know. But he definitely was. I don't want to diagnose anyone, but it was just a weird thing to do.
I mean, I guess I just don't know like how these things go, like how often you end up playing tennis with like someone who you don't really know.
Never. Whatever. I think in the whole time I've been playing tennis as an adult, one other time someone came on to the court, or he just said, hey, like, I'm looking for people. And I think I maybe took his number. I never called him, but it's tough. I mean, how I made friends to play with is I joined a clinic, and you know, you meet people in a clinic, but then I realized that's my privilege because this clinic costs $40 and not everyone has $40 to play to join.
Especially
a clinic.
As often as you were doing.
As often as I was doing. Yeah. Now I don't do it. Cause I don't know how much I was spending a shit ton of money. And now, you know,
but that's ego when you make your friends.
And you make your friends and then you find people to play with. Yeah. So, and I didn't talk to those women because I'm like, also, this is a guy who's acting a little erratically and it's different. Me and three other guys playing, I could probably afford to be not aggressive, but a little like, hey, like, back off. And if you're a woman, I don't know that you would be comfortable
being like
that with it. You might have to be play really nice and be like, oh, yeah, like, even though you really don't want to. I don't know.
Well, whatever. I'm sure it's fine. I mean, probably someone like that hears shit all the time.
Yeah, he definitely was not fazed when I told him to get off of our court.
Yeah.
And then he even later, he also like was like, hey, what racket do you use? Like, he was like still being nice. And then at that time, I was like, oh, I just answered his question. I was like, this is the racket, blah, blah, blah. He was fine. It was fine. It was just like it was very strange.
So weird. I hate people.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also, that's definitely like the biggest difference, I think, in like living in New York that I've noticed socially is how often people will just start talking to you. Mm-hmm. Like, just like on the bus or on a train or like waiting in line or whatever, they'll just like start like, they'll be like, I've been coming here for 20 years and they just like want to start talking like, where do you live? Or like,
yeah,
just like whatever, and you just talk about it, about, you know, what you're doing and where you live in the city and what you like, and the, I don't know,
it is cool.
It's cool.
That is, I think that is one of the fun things about New York, because LA is very, like, even if I'm, I don't know, like taking a hike or something, I feel like normally in most places, especially on like trails, it's like courtesy to like smile and nod or say hi or something if you're passing each other hiking. Mm-hmm. And in LA, I feel like very few people do that.
I feel like, I don't know, in my memory, I mean, not on something like, not where you're passing people like every fucking second.
No,
but well, yeah. Like, definitely if you're in like a, if you were hiking and it was like a weird time, definitely if it's like you and like two women pass each other, I think you'd both be like, hi, like, I, it's just me, like, hey, and oh, like, yeah, as you walk by each other or something,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
Like,
and I try not to do that. If it's a woman by herself, I think I'll be conscious of like not engaging at all, because I don't want to come across as aggressive ever.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely, when I'm walking down the street, I just like lock my eyes in front of me and just like plow through everybody.
You sort of have to, because you would go, especially in New York with the amount of people you're passing, you would go crazy, or you would come across as crazy.
Yeah. But people talk, I mean, people definitely talk to me with BB. Like, he's the king of New York. Everybody fucking loves him. People are just like, this one woman stopped us. Actually, I like, we walked BB the other night and I went inside to get us gelato, because we get gelato like almost every day. Every single day we either get like a cookie or gelato when we walk our dog. And when I came out, I saw this woman and she was like talking, and I was like, she's definitely talking to Brian. Like, here we go. So I like got out there, and yes, she was. And she was like, is that a whatever? Like, he looks just like my whatever, this breed that I'd never heard before. And I was like, no, he's just a rescue. He's half Shih Tzu, half Chihuahua. He's a mutt. And she was like, he looks exactly like this dog that I just bought. And I had to go to a breeder, and I had to fly to South Bend, Indiana, and get this fucking dog. And she showed us pictures of the dog, and it looked exactly like BB, but all white. And she's like, but this is the all white one. The one that's white and gray, which is what BB's coloring is more expensive. Whoa. But I didn't want to pay that much for him, and it looked literally exactly like BB, and this dog is like a $5,000 dog, and BB looks just like him.
Well, now you know, if you're going through a tough time financially, you can always sell BB on the black market.
I know, and be like, no, he's that thing, that he's like this special dog from Indiana,
from South Bend. That's Mayor Pete's city that he destroyed.
Oh yeah, maybe his family are the dog breeders. I wouldn't be surprised.
It's a Buttigieg tail.
Chasten seems like a dog. Yeah. Like, he comes from a dog breeding family.
Oh, absolutely.
And I can't and won't explain it.
Here's the other big news. Something I'm gonna do, not this coming weekend, but the weekend after. I signed up for a free transcendental meditation workshop.
Oh my God. You should go to the David Lynch Transcendental MFA program.
Yeah. Wait, where is that?
I think that also might be in Indiana.
Maybe it's in Indiana. I mean,
isn't that where he's from?
He's definitely from the Midwest somewhere. I don't know exactly.
I think it's like wherever he's from, but it's like, it's the Transcendental Meditation people have an MFA program, and it's called like the David Lynch, and it's like a dramatic writing or screenwriting, okay, like MFA. And I was really going to go to it.
That sounds
like,
I mean,
if I didn't get into like one of my main ones that I wanted to go to, I was like, I'll go there. And I still kind of think it would have been cool, because it's like, you do transcendental meditation and then you like write movies.
Yeah. I'm like, I am so open to this experience. I will I'm sure after this, you know, after the free workshop, they're going to try to, you know, get you to sign up for the classes and you're going to spend your money. And I will, I'm 100% going to do it. I need something. I feel like transcendental meditation will be the answer to all of my problems.
I think it will too, Brian. You really, I would love to do, I can't afford it.
Well, they have a sliding scale. So,
but it can't be slide. My slide is all the way at the bottom. I'm in the sandbox.
Well, if you're on, so I think if you're on public assistance, not that you're on public assistance, but I'm saying if you were, I think it's very, very cheap. If you make under 50 grand a year, which unfortunately I'm in that box, it's like, I think it's like $250 for the program.
I'm not paying that for that.
Oh, I'll pay. I will. I mean, I want it. It's going to, so it's going to lessen. First of all, lessen my anxiety, then it will make me more creative. It will have give me access to myself or my subconscious, and I'll have a whole new group of friends to be friends with.
Well, yeah.
And then I can become a transcendental meditation teacher. I'm ready to go. I'm like, I'm all in already, and I haven't even gone to this workshop yet.
But the workshop's free.
The workshop's free, but I'm sure it's like a timeshare thing where it's like that you sit through the thing and then they're like, here, give me your money.
I briefly became really invested in trying to get invited to do a timeshare presentation. You know, if Brian and I got to go, I would immediately sign over every red cent that I have, but I know that Brian would hold fast.
Yeah. I mean, it is a true swindle. I remember as a kid, we're on some vacation and it's like, you know, you get a free breakfast for your family if you sit through the thing. And I remember the guy, the sales, it was like a vivid memory of mine. Like he had the whole sort of catalog of all the different places around the world. And he, you know, talked to me as the kid. He's like, so where do you want to go in the whole? And I was like, Costa Rica. And he was like, here are all the cool places in Costa Rica you can go. And I was like, Mom, Dad, we have to sign up for this. This is like a like ticket to our dreams. And yeah. They did not.
Smart. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like, but you can get really good stuff. Like you can get like a weekend in the hotel, like just if you do it, or you can get like an extra night or an upgrade, or you can get like all of this shit.
Yeah.
If you sit through, not always, but like sometimes for sitting through one of those things, you can get something pretty good.
There's deals to be had. Because now that there's like Airbnb and stuff, I feel like timeshares are probably less popular than they used to be, or no?
No, it's an evergreen thing.
Is it?
Because it's a con, it's a scam. So like, yeah. You know, scams don't go away.
Sounds like a great scam. It makes it, also, it makes it sound like you just become this like laissez-faire, like world traveler who has access to like everything in the world. Like if you join a timeshare, you can just jet off to wherever.
Well, you can just jet off to the place that you have a timeshare, but you can only go there when you like are allowed to be there, which is usually like the shittiest time of the year. And it's like, instead of being able to go on vacation wherever you want, whenever you want, you always have to go to this one shitty place that you've already paid for and you've like booked for like 15 years.
But isn't the timeshare mean that you can trade and like go to different places? Isn't that the whole point of it? Like there's condos all over the world and like
I think some of them operate that way, but the timeshare is like most people, it's like everybody shares like one property. Like it's like you buy, it's like a condo or something and everybody
and you have like a month or wherever that you can go to. Yeah,
I think so.
That sounds extremely depressing.
Yeah. So whatever.
But you could get a free breakfast buffet.
But if you could get like a free night in a hotel to go sit, because like I like that's what I want to try to do. I'm like, I want to get like one of the good presentations.
Yeah. Do a little research. Or if any of our listeners, you know, sell timeshares for a living, we're listening. We're open. We're
receptive. But don't get your hopes up because there's no way in hell we're gonna buy one. I think if you just like go to like Hawaii or like Las Vegas or like a super like tourist place like that, probably like Orlando.
Oh, I'm sure.
And dress kind of nice. Like you have money. Some guy will be like, hey, you want to watch a timeshare? And you just say yes.
I was walking through the Oakland Zoo last weekend with my niece and nephew, and there was somebody hawking timeshares. And I don't think I looked like I had that much money.
Were you... You were in Oakland last weekend?
Yeah.
I don't even know what the fuck is going on.
I flew to Oakland last weekend and I hung out.
Oh, yeah. My parents were in town last weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Exciting. We went to... it was really rainy. We didn't do anything that fun. On the super rainy day, we went to the Venice, Haunting in Venice movie.
Oh, that's a good movie with parents.
It's a good parents movie.
Yeah. I didn't hate that movie. It was sort of fun.
No, I didn't hate it at all.
Oh, but yeah. I like all of those Kenneth Branagh, Agatha Christie movies. They're all so stupid, but I enjoy them.
That was the only one I've seen. And I also saw Juno and the Paycock, which was the play that they were in town to see, which was whatever.
Okay. I never heard of it.
It's like there's this like trilogy of Irish plays that are like Ireland's, like, I don't even know, they're like these like very important plays for like Irish cultural history or whatever. They're all set around the Irish Revolution, and they were all written by this guy, Sean O'Casey. And it's like it's called like the O'Casey cycle. And I guess like I think it's the kind of thing where it's like, if you're an actor in Ireland, like you've done these monologues a billion times, like, you know, these plays really well. And like, probably like high school students in Ireland do them. And I think it's just like these like really famous plays for like Irish people. Yeah. But this like Irish theater company like tours them and like all over the world. So,
and your parents flew out to New York specifically to see this play?
I mean, I have a feeling, see, this is the thing where I'm like, maybe the fact that like I also moved to New York has like something to do with the fact that they're there. But they're like, well, kind of, but really we just really want to see these like Irish, this like trilogy of,
they're not Irish. Why are they so obsessed with Irish history? I don't know. Anyway,
I'm not particularly interested in it. And they were like, the play was fine. I mean, it was fine. It was like good. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah. It's that type of play where you're like, okay,
it's like a, you know, three-act play about like a family in Ireland during the revolution. And they have like a daughter and a son who was injured and da, da, da. I mean, it's like, you can guess. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like not, you can, it's just, it was just like good, boring. Everybody did a good job. Nothing bad about it. Just like kind of boring.
Sure.
Did
you read or watch the Vogue 73 questions with Gwyneth that came out this week?
Oh, fuck. I didn't even know she did one, but I love those. And she's the perfect person to do one. She's got the perfect attitude for it.
Well, you're in luck because I watched it this morning and I think I tried to write down all 73 of the questions. I probably didn't get all of them. But so you've watched, I think I'd seen like clips of them before. I don't think I've ever sat through a whole one. The guy, is it the same guy that does every one?
They do. No, I think there's because like sometimes, like I saw one, sometimes there are like a couple of people or like someone else will take over halfway through or something.
Whoever
I've watched the one with Taylor Swift, okay. I think probably like 10 times.
Oh, wow.
I love the Taylor Swift one. It's like in her house.
So this one, Gwyneth doesn't, it's in Amagansett, but she doesn't actually go into her house. It's all in the garden outside.
Okay.
The guy, and I don't know, maybe he does some of them. His voice is so entrancing and like sing-songy, but he also sounds, I don't know, a little bit like AI or like a little bit like he's making fun of them. I don't know how to describe it. It's like this weird,
it's like tongue-in-cheek,
a little tongue-in-cheek,
and
yeah.
They're also kind of tongue-in-cheek, like they're kind of giving these like sassy little answers. Yeah.
I guess I because I'd never really seen a full one before, so I don't know that I understood the tone, and his tone, it was like a little mocking, even though it wasn't like malicious, but it was just odd. It was like an edge to it, which I thought was interesting.
But you didn't think that she also kind of was had that edge as well?
Oh, no, for sure. Like she, I mean, she, I'm sure, knew exactly what she was getting into. And there were certain questions where she just like refused to answer. I mean, it was not like, you know, a hard hitting like Barbara Walters.
I mean, interview. I think that they're like all completely scripted.
I'm sure.
Because it's like, it's always like that like rapid fire thing. And they're like walk. It's like very choreographed, like where they're walking. Like it's obviously like staged.
Yeah.
And they're like answers are so canned. And like there's, I like in the Taylor Swift one, there's a part where they're like, what's your advice to anyone who wants to become a musician? And she's like, get a good lawyer. And it's like, they wrote that for her. And it, or she, I mean, she may have written it herself because she's like funny and a good writer, but like, that was a, that's not like an off the cuff.
A spontaneous. Yeah. No, there were certain answers. Like I'm sure they probably give you all the questions beforehand.
Yeah.
So yeah, Gwyneth was in the garden in Amagansett. I'm sure that was like part of her deal was like, I'm not actually showing you the house. I'm sure she has gardeners. She made it seem like she's just out there like toiling in the garden all day, like growing these lettuces.
She's not.
But she does like to, she was most excited. Maybe it was the time of year. She was so excited about all the different lettuces. She makes all these different salads. He asked her, yeah, what are like, you know, new meal that she likes to cook. And she kept going. She went back to the boyfriend breakfast. She's still obsessed with this fucking boyfriend breakfast.
I hate boyfriend breakfast.
She said the, like the chef or the like TV chef or something that like inspires her more than anyone is Ina Garten, I guess, because the Hamptons reference. He asked her like healthy habits that her mom introduced to her to. And she said, when she was a kid, and she said healthy soda and vitamin C.
What's healthy soda? Well, also that's not true, because when we were kids, healthy soda
Hansen's. No, I mean it was like Hanson's, and it's not healthy, but like back then it was healthy. But like Blythe was definitely the mom that like had some Hanson's every once in a while.
It was healthy because it, well,
it tasted disgusting,
the health food store. Yeah. It tastes delicious. Are you kidding me? I was, the mandarin lime Hanson soda was like the most delicious shit I ever had.
I just always wanted a Coke or a root beer. I did not like them.
Oh man, I was sucking and slurping that shit down when I could. I mean, that was only soda. I loved it. And then also they didn't put dyes in it. It was clear.
It was clear, but it had as much calories, as much corn syrup. It was literally exactly as bad for you as regular.
It was exactly as bad for, no, I think it's made with cane sugar. I think that was the whole
thing. Oh, okay.
I believe that's why it was natural.
I wonder.
That's not better for you.
No.
I'm looking it up now. Also, I feel like did today's kid children even know what the fuck Hanson soda
is? No, Hanson's has not been around for 25 years.
I've got bad news for you, Brian. It's still around.
It is? I haven't seen it. Where do they sell it?
Well, I don't know, because when I was a child, also there was a, okay, sorry, more LA shit. The Gelson's in Beverly Hills on like, I don't know what street it's on, but it's like in Beverly Hills. Do you know it?
No. Well, I don't really.
I think it might be like on 3rd or something, like way down. Anyway, that used to be a health food store called Quinn's, and that was where we used to go grocery shopping, and that was where we used to go and get our hands in. I don't know where else you would have ever purchased it.
I think we used to get it at Trader Joe's. I think that's where I used to get it.
Trader Joe's, yeah. They still have all the same shit. They still have mandarin lime. They have strawberry. They have grapefruit. They have cherry vanilla.
And it's made with cane sugar.
And it's all made with cane sugar. It's called cane soda.
Oh, that actually rings a bell. So I guess that was healthy soda. She admits now that her new routine is she has one alcoholic drink a week. Like she used to do with cigarettes.
Now she does.
Now it's alcohol, and pretty soon it'll be nothing.
Pretty soon it'll be a Hanson's.
It'll be one Hanson's a week. Maybe I should go down to one alcoholic beverage a week. But you can't even open a bottle of wine then, because it's like then you just throw away the rest of the wine.
I drink less now than I did when I lived in LA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most people report the opposite in New York. It's such a drinking culture, and you don't have to drive anywhere.
It is such a drinking culture, but like, I just find that I'm like less bored.
Well, you're so busy.
Yeah. And also, like, everything is so expensive. And I don't know. Like, I'm just like out all the time. I don't know. Also, like, I'm not eating out at like restaurants in the same way that I used to, where like I used to, I don't, like, Brian and I used to go out to eat like every single weekend and like see a movie. And now I don't even know what the fuck we do, but like we never eat at restaurants like the, it's like I eat out more, but in different ways.
We're like just doing a quick falafel, a quick,
yeah, that's
slice on the street. Yeah. Hot dog at Central Park.
Yeah, exactly.
Mustard with a pretzel. Yeah.
A restaurant.
Restaurants are overrated. I mean, how many restaurants have we been to in our life? Is anyone ever doing anything new anymore? It's just, there's no point.
But that can't possibly be true. I think I'm also just like obsessed with like not spending money now.
Okay, yeah.
I'm like trying to like, because everything is so fucking expensive.
You gotta pinch your pennies.
And it's like my budget is limited and I'd rather buy a fucking cookie than a glass of wine.
That's called maturity.
Thank you. Also, but I've also noticed if you buy a bottle of wine, like at the wine store here, it's cheaper.
Oh, is it?
Yes, a lot cheaper. Like, there's a wine place by my house, and I was like, these bottles were like a lot cheaper than they would have been in LA.
I wonder if, like, there's
French
more
wines. Yeah.
I bet you, because California wants to like boost their own wine economy, I wonder if there's like bigger tariffs on like foreign wines in California.
That's very possible. But I was really surprised at how cheap the like French, Spanish, and Italian wines were.
Yeah. And those are the best ones, I think. I mean, I like California wines too.
No, I love California wines. I like I like a big, shitty, disgusting California wine that wine snobs would stick their nose up at.
All right. Let me go through a few. I won't read all 73 of these. What else? Okay. Her most exciting new wellness trend is longevity. So she's like definitely in on the like blood transfusion billionaire psychosis that's gripping our richest citizens. Her most simple wellness advice is quiet the mind. I'll scroll.
Easier said than done.
Yeah, easier said than done. Most exciting young actress today, she said, is Jodie Comer.
Who is that? My new favorite actress.
She was on that show where it was like she was like a serial killer and she was chasing Sandra Oh. And then she was,
you know what? That was one of those shows that I really liked. And then they did one thing that was like too violent or disgusting. I can't remember what it was, but it was like, I was like, I can't watch this anymore. Sometimes TV shows, they'll do something that's too violent for me and I can't watch it. That also happened to me with that show with Idris Elba, where he like, there was like, I liked that show. And then there was Luther.
Oh, I didn't see Luther. I just saw.
I liked that show. And then there was one episode where a guy was like holding a thing. He was like about to like jam it in a guy's ear. And I was like, this is too gross. I don't want to. I had to stop watching.
I can't do. I mean, I just watched that like Western show and it was good, but it was so violent with Emily Blunt called The English.
I don't know.
It was it was really good. It's on like Amazon Prime. It's like a Western miniseries or whatever. But it gets. I mean, they do scalps. They do. It's like really gross.
Yeah, I'm like a little bitch. Oh, and she's in.
She was in a play that was she was highly in regarded. That
I wanted to see this play. It closed before I got here. Mm. Prima Facie.
I think she got a Tony.
It was a big yeah. deal.
I cannot watch. I tried, or I in front of a movie, they showed the new Eli Roth movie trailer called Thanksgiving. Did you see it?
I've seen the trailer.
It's so disgusting. I had to shut my eyes. I don't think I saw that trailer. There was two. There was one that was like a teaser that was like sort of cutesy, and you thought, oh, this is just like a tongue-in-cheek like horror comedy.
That's the one I've seen.
And then the second one is like full torture porn, like, because it's all people basically dying in ways that like you make a Thanksgiving dinner. I don't even want to describe it. It's so gross.
I can't. I saw I've been kind of staying home this week, I guess, since my parents left town. You know, I was just like in school, I guess. The week goes by so fast and I'm so exhausted and stressed out all the time.
Yeah.
But at night, last night I went to dinner with a friend who was in town. But at night I've mostly been like watching scary movies.
Okay.
And on Hulu, they have a thing where you can pick, like, do you want to watch something that's like scary, 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 or very scary? And I think the stuff that's like supposed to be a little scary is the scariest, and that's supposed to be the most scary is the least scary.
Huh.
But they had Saw as like in the middle, and I've never watched the same. I watch like, I love horror movies, but I've never watched a single Saw because I hate torture porn so much.
Me too. I can't. I heard the new Saw is like pretty good, but I won't watch it. I get no pleasure out of that part of a horror movie of just like. Ugh.
But then I'll watch, which I am sick of it, but I've watched a lot of like French New Extremity and stuff, which I'm like, well, I guess I'll watch that. But just because like it's French, I don't really know why. It's just as bad.
Yeah. And I like the Scandinavian horror stuff too. That's pretty disgusting. Yeah.
But it's like the only reason is because I'm like, oh, it's French. Yeah. So it has
The American horror torture porn, because it's like it's both extremely violent and then also extremely like cartoonish in a way that is it sickens me. I don't know. I don't like it at all.
I think the cartoonishness of it is what I like about it.
Okay.
And all of that French stuff is that's what it's inspired by, like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I love that. I mean, is that torture porn, Texas Chainsaw Massacre? I don't know. I guess I wouldn't call it like that. It's the same thing.
But I like it when you're in an audience of people and everyone's like screaming and laughing.
Yeah, that's fun.
But I don't want to watch it like at home, and I don't want to go see it in a theater because I'm like, oh, so I just never see it. But when, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to say. I just don't like stuff that's too fucked up.
I got it. This guy asks Gwyneth to tell him like little the directing styles of a few of the directors that she's worked with, or like what they would say to her. So she says for Ryan Murphy, he would always tell her to have less emotion. John Favreau, he would always just be like, yeah, that's great, that's perfect, keep doing it like that. And for Wes Anderson, she said, do it exactly like I tell you. What else? What she would say to 19-year-old Gwyneth? Tell her to become very close to herself to make life less painful. It's pretty deep. And then the last question was one sliding doors moment that she was glad happened, I guess. It's like when she said yes to doing Glee, because of course that's where she meant.
And she met her husband.
The breakfast boyfriend himself.
Can you imagine a world where she hadn't done Glee?
Yeah, I honestly don't think it would have changed much about her life. I mean, her life
would change more about Will Cole's life.
Oh, you think she would have never gotten in with Will Cole if Brad wasn't there? Do you think?
I don't think she would have gotten into Paleo.
Into Paleo. But I don't, she still pays lip service to this Paleo stuff, but we have not seen nor heard from Will Cole in months, so I think he might be on the outs with her.
Maybe. I do think probably if not Brad, it would have been someone else.
Yeah, I mean, she would have, I think, because Chris seems like, I mean, he's like a little bit of a weirdo too, but I he's a rock star, so I don't, he can't really have like the routine or the discipline diet wise that Gwyneth probably craves. And I think Brad and Gwyneth, they are enablers of each other's orthorexia in a way that, yeah, is compatible, definitely.
And I don't think Chris has orthorexia, which I think is like one of the major problems in their relationship.
Chris seems like the type of person who just has a great metabolism and will always be thin no matter what he does.
Or maybe something else.
Oh, or maybe something else. Okay, rumor.
I'm just, all I said was maybe something else.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
So, I mean, that
well,
was my
I missed
little,
out on a lot. This
that was my little report from the halls of Condé Nast.
God, I have to watch it. I really do like those things. I think they're really fun. I always think they're funny.
Oh, she always knows how to get a soundbite and how to get like a little meme that all the different media outlets will pick up. So they're just walking through her garden, and there's like a gate or like a door to, I guess, another garden or something outside. And you just first you hear him say, "Oh, nice doorstop," and then it zooms in, and it's of course her Oscar as the doorstop, like just in the garden, and she's like, "Ah, ha ha ha." So that's like that was like the little meme-y thing where that was every outlet was like, "Oh, Gwyneth uses her Oscar as a doorstop."
I mean, it's so stupid if anybody like reports on anything in that, like it's real. But I also watched Margot Robbie's.
Oh yeah.
Where she was like getting ready for a dinner party or like a breakfast party.
At her house?
She had like a beautiful, beautiful, fucking adorable like cottage on the beach. And it was so nice. Like just perfect. You know what I mean? It was like small, but like super sunny.
I mean, amazing.
It was so like Australian in LA.
Was it like Malibu, you think, or where do you think?
I think it was Malibu. Malibu, yeah. And she just had this like huge yard with like, but just like not like, I love it when celebrities have small houses that are just really nice.
Yeah. Like,
you know what I mean? Like, not ostentatious.
New studio in the East 90s.
Wait, what? A studio in the East 90s?
I talked to you a little bit about this before we started recording, but they have that thing in the New York Times real estate section where it's like a different person looking for an apartment every week, and you like choose which which apartment she should do. And this week Melissa Leo like trying to find a studio, and I was like, oh god, she's just like a regular working stiff like the rest of us.
Yeah, a studio in the East 90s is, I mean, that would be great.
But it seemed great because even though these places were not super expensive as far as, you know, what you would consider New York real estate, the fees, like the maintenance fees, are like $1,500 to $2,000 a month. So even if
plus,
you pay cash,
like, to get anything in New York, you literally have to be like Jesus Christ on earth. Like you cannot, like, the shit that they want from people, like they want to have like press clippings to get an apartment. Like this one broker that I was like talking to when we moved here, she was like, yeah, like any press clippings you have about yourself. I was like, what
that's
the fuck,
so
you bitch?
Psychotic.
I'm coming here to go to fucking grad school. Like, I don't, what do you want? Like my bio from the UCB page.
We were profiled in the AV club a few years ago. You could have used that.
I could have. I don't know. But it's like, what? It's just like they're crazy.
Yeah, no, I mean, because you think, oh, I'm paying all cash for an apartment. And then you obviously still have to pay insurance. You still have to pay property taxes. And then you're paying, I mean, I guess it's the same as like an HOA, but like, even like, I don't know. I when she said like $1,500 to $2,000 a month just for maintenance, you're just like,
it's like, what's the point?
That's my rent.
Rent. Just pay your fucking, just rent. It's like, there's no point.
No.
And it's not that different anyway.
No, you're still in a shitty apartment regardless.
I mean, you're still in an apartment.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Okie doke. Are we ready to go to talk about the newsletters?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. What was your best of the week?
Okay. So my best of the week was, this is like, I never say this, but I have to say my favorite was the travel article. I think I finally identified for myself like what my true dream vacation is.
Okay.
And it's this. It's like, I want to go to like a snowy ski lodge. And I don't know how to ski.
Skiing is the least important part. You just, the lodge is what's important.
The lodge is what's important. But I think that she was right when she was like, the best thing is when you like, you just want to spend all your time working up an appetite for the next thing you're going to eat.
Oh yeah.
Cause I love coming in from like a fucking like cold outdoor activity and being exhausted. And like, that's what the lodge is so great. Cause you're like tired and you're fucking cold and you can get like a hot toddy or.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If. Only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term medical plans underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Like an Irish coffee or something and like sit by a fire. Like that's like so nice, but it's only nice when you've like earned it.
That's true. Cause then you're just sitting there all day and it's, and you just feel like a piece of shit.
Yeah. I mean like that's nice too for like a, I feel like you want to have a good mix.
But like the,
you have like a veg out piece of shit day and you want to have some like active days too.
The contrast between the like bracing cold of the outside like ski area and then like the cozy warmth of the fireside is so, that's, yeah, that's what makes it perfect.
That is the best. I mean, that's what really makes you appreciate like humanity, because like it's like, this is what safety is. Like, this is what humanity has given you, like a place to be out to like a safety from the cold, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's what you go there to appreciate.
Oh, and this place is in Western Montana.
And I love that part of the country. Of course, I don't think I've been to Montana. I may have been in like a little bit. I've definitely touched a little bit of, Idaho.
Yeah, because it's like where I went when I went to Yellowstone is like the sort of, it's Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming are all sort of right there.
Yeah, but I definitely spent most, I mean, I was like in like Wyoming,
yeah,
when I've been there. And it's like amazing. And I've talked on here so much about how much I love Jackson Hole. And like I would just love to go to this place in Montana. This is my dream vacation. I would love to stay in this fucking lodge.
It's called it's
has
the
like a weird name.
The tree house spelled H-A-U-S, and then there's, it's just four houses. So, oh no, the tree house is one of four concepts. So what's the whole thing called?
The whole thing has a weird name. Let me see if I can find it.
So, social house? No, greener. No.
It's like something with like a lowercase letter in it.
Okay, it is not, it's not jumping out at me in this article. It's
because like, they don't like, because a title with a name that would jump out at you has a capital letter in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which this doesn't have.
I'm trying to speed read. Oh, no, it's the Green O. It's all lowercase. Yeah. The Green O, the adults only all-inclusive luxury retreat. So you have a choice of, well, there's the social house, which is like the common area. And then you have like one of four rooms, treehouse, greenhouse, blah, blah, blah. Oh, and they make a recreation of a fillet of fish. This chef looks amazing. The whole thing sounds just staggering.
Yeah, like the food is really good. The nature is really beautiful. The whole thing. It just like, it sounds perfect. And I would love to go.
I mean, what is the rate? It has to be thousands of dollars a night.
Yeah, and I feel like there are ways to like recreate something similar to this. Like, I could just get an Airbnb in the snow and just get an actual fillet of fish.
Yeah, exactly. Put it on a silver platter. It's
yeah,
the same
and
thing.
I'd probably like that too. So I don't know.
Now I want. I mean, I did go to the snow last winter and it was really nice, but then I got COVID. So
it's we did that like my 35th birthday. We went to what the hell is it called? Not Big Bear. The other one.
Arrowhead?
We went to...
Arrowhead.
Arrowhead.
Yeah.
And it was really nice. We like stayed... We got like a townhouse.
Oh, that sounds good.
It was nice. I love going up to the snow. And, you know, there was really close in LA. Like to LA. They're like really close.
We're looking for a second car and I want to get a four-wheel drive so it's easier to get up to the snow.
Yeah.
All right. My favorite or my best of the week was Gwyneth's solo Q&A podcast where we had the ghosts of Gwyneth past calling in and asking her very pre-scripted questions.
I was like zooming around. I like only listened to a little bit because I was like, is Elise going to call in?
No, I wish. I was like, I was waiting for Elise. Obviously, Elise didn't call in. Obviously, I mean, I don't know what's happened to Gerda. She's completely off the grid. She did not call in, but one of our favorites called in. And I was so happy to see that they were on good terms. Miss Caitlin O'Malley, former food director. Called in.
Yeah, how's Caitlin doing?
She seems good. And I don't know. I guess she's working as a private chef now. She asked Gwyneth like when she was writing her next cookbook and what she thought it would be about. And Gwyneth basically was like, I don't really have time to write a cookbook, but if I did, her two pitches were, and I was like, you might need to workshop these a little more. One was just like a cookbook of boyfriend breakfasts.
This boyfriend breakfast thing, it's like no one likes this except for her.
I don't get it. Yeah, it's like so, she's so fixated on it. It's so weird. Or the other idea was a cookbook of recipes you would make for blended families. Which I'm like,
what does that even fucking mean?
I have
like, how
no,
is it different than for a regular family?
I have no idea. It was so weird. But then twice, she was basically practically begging Caitlin to come back to work. She's like, please. She's like, twice she asked, like, come back. And now I'm gonna add my voice
to
that choir.
She gets paid so much more working as a private chef than she did doing this shit for
no me. I'm sure. I mean, why? Well, because you know, you never know with Gwyneth if it's like who's leaving on whose terms, but this one it really seemed like Caitlin just left and because she got I'm sure better opportunities, more money, more flexible schedule, because nothing Caitlin likes more than just like driving up the coast with her boyfriend. She's like literally takes the 101 like every weekend. So, but I still, if she left on her own accord, I still don't understand why Gwyneth has not hired a replacement. And if they did not eliminate the position, why do we not have somebody?
Good question. Maybe she just can't get over Caitlin.
I mean, and you know, we all love Caitlin, but I don't know that she was doing anything groundbreaking there. I don't know.
You don't love Caitlin. Let's be honest.
Well, now it's like, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. There's like I would kill for a new Caitlyn recipe.
Well, what about this fucking stir fry thing?
Well, that's old. Yeah, and it wasn't even her recipes.
I see.
I mean, it's like, that's what Caitlyn was doing. I think Caitlyn was like mentally checked out for the last year because she was not creating recipes. She was just sort of being like, oh, here's a cookbook I read. I'm just going to like publish these recipes.
Yeah, I wonder what the hell she had going on that she like couldn't really do it.
I know, because you don't even, I mean, she's a, I guess it's different than being a like a celebrity private chef. She probably just works for some family that doesn't need to be on social media all the time. So you don't really see it.
I guess, but I mean, I feel like so many of these private chefs, like their goal is to, like, you know, I love these private chefs on TikTok and I follow them, and their goal is to be the new Alison Roman. Like, that's what they're all for, or the new like Molly Baz now. Like,
ugh.
They
don't
all
get me started.
Why do you hate Molly Baz?
I don't know. I don't like her. I don't like her personality. I don't like her recipes. Some of them are fine. I don't like her cutesiness, like the constant abbreviations.
There's something she
really
takes it too
can't
far,
stand
where
I
like
really
I have had to read her Instagram captions like 5 times because she'll be like, I'm having a cha-pie, and I'm like, when it means like cheese pizza, but you like don't understand. It's like every single fucking word she uses she abbreviates to the point that like it no longer makes any sense.
I really get a visceral reaction looking at her and looking at her recipes. I don't, this might, I'm sure she's a lovely person.
I've never made a single one.
I want to say I made her like BA's best like chicken parm at some point, and that was pretty good. I mean, it's like good, but it's also like the whole vibe and like the style of food is so exactly the same as Alison Roman. It's like, what is your identity?
She's like Alison Roman, but she takes it into like a direction that I don't like, which is like a type of food that I personally call millennial slop.
Yeah.
Which is like, millennials love to eat like gruel with an egg on it that just like looks and feels impoverished and has like the texture of baby food and is like very savory. And I don't like that, but I think that she's kind of like in that sort of like milieu. And I can't think of a specific recipe, but I feel like that's her, like, I feel like she like embodies that to me.
Yeah, it's millennial comfort food without, because Alison Roman, her thing is like, it'll have a real intense pop of either like herbs or like anchovies or like heat, something like a little like, whoo. And
she has, Alison Roman is lover or hater. And of course she's, you know, whatever, but like, she has this way like with, of like very simply building flavors in a way that works really well, and anybody can do it at home, and it's just like it works every single time. Like,
and it's
like
ingredients
template. Like,
totally like ingredients that seem so simple and like, well, yeah, like this is the classic version of the thing, and then you're tasting it and there's like one flavor that she just punches up so much and like makes it like a new dish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's really good, and especially for like that kind of thing, like being like a recipe, being like a cookbook author or like a recipe developer in the newspaper or whatever, like something for like home cooks to make themselves, it's like she's like the perfect person for that. It's just like she's good at that thing.
I made the stew, the actual stew, the other day.
I love this. I mean, I haven't made it in years, and I probably never will again because I'll never cook in my kitchen. I'd rather die than use my kitchen. There was a cockroach in my apartment the other day. I don't do that anymore. I don't cook in my kitchen. Cockroaches are in my kitchen. Well, he wasn't in the kitchen, but he was close enough because the whole place is close to the kitchens.
I mean, the stew holds up, and it's crazy how much discourse there was about this stupid stew a few years ago.
It's like, so good, that stew.
It's so good. It's good. It's just good. It's like a fall day. The weather's getting a little cooler.
Oh my God, on a cold fall day, there's fucking nothing better.
Make that
than
stew.
That,
nothing better. It should be like a national dish. Whereas I'm sure we don't have to stay on Molly Baz, but like I get the heebie-jeebies from her.
It's just a vibe.
It's just a vibe, and the whole shtick. I just don't like her whole shtick. But that's just me.
Fair enough. Yeah, I like all of the. I like all of the sort of like BA people who like made it out unscathed and then like.
Oh, Rick Martinez, his chicken enchilada recipe that was in the New York Times, that is, I feel like, up there with the stew of just like the best homemade chicken enchiladas that you'll ever make.
I've never made a single one of these people's recipes. Any of the Bon Appetit people, I've never made one of them. And I never will. But good for them. You know, it looks good. I just feel like their recipes are like too complicated.
I mean, they're more complicated than like, you know, Pioneer.
Like Alison Roman's recipes are really simple.
Yeah, I don't think some of them are more complicated, but like, I don't think Rick Martinez Andy Baragami can get a little like cutesy, but they're about this. I mean, they're like advanced beginner, I would say.
Yeah, I guess. I just like, I'm not going to make enchiladas. Like making enchiladas sounds like too hard for me.
Well, the thing is that I do when I'm lazy is I just don't roll them. I just make like an enchilada.
Like a lasagna.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it tastes just the same.
That's smart. Maybe I'll do that.
Because who are you trying to impress?
I know I won't.
So yeah, that was my best. I mean, these questions and answers are, I mean, it's mostly like these other random like female founders of like weird companies that you've never heard of.
I can't stand it.
That Gwyneth is like, oh my God, my closest and best friend for decades. Like,
yeah, and it's like the founder of like a weird, like an Instagram page where you can buy lip gloss or something. Yeah,
it's like, you know, Kelsey McCormick, the founder of, what'd you say, Instagram lip gloss. I mean, you're just like, what is going on?
Yeah, it's like, it's so, I can't fucking stand this shit. I love it for Gwyneth because I feel like she made a choice and she like really knows who she is, but I'm just not inspired by business. It doesn't inspire me at all. There's nothing about like a woman founded business that excites me in any fucking way.
She really seems to get like emotional and spiritual fulfillment through capitalism.
There are a lot of people like that. There are a lot of people like that. And it's just, it's not even like,
it's not a judgment call. I'm just like, it's like truly, I wish I had that gene because I would be a lot richer than I am. But it's just like,
I don't care. Like, it's just not me. Like, it just isn't me.
But she like, it's like, she really is meaningful. And these books that she reads by, you know, like Girl Boss Central, like a way to female founders or whatever she's reading. Is like, she's like, oh, this is a really meaningful, like, it's like what other people would talk about, like reading like great literature. She's like,
yeah. Oh, there are so many people who, well, I don't even think that's true. I mean, there are so many people and all they read is self-help and they're like, oh my God, you have to read this every week. They have a new fucking book. Oh my God, I read the best book. And it's some fucking book that's like, girl, do it. And it's about some fucking woman who like, you know, had some sort of like, eating disorder 25 years ago and then like at the age of like 24 went to business, got her MBA, and she'll be like, and I overcame it and I like, you know, and
I mean, you're Cleo too. Wades, you're Glennon Doyles, it's just this whole, you're Jen Gunters,
frankly. Yes.
All right.
I mean, I support women in business, but also like, don't you remember like the mortifying cringe? Like, I feel like it's like a stock, like Simpsons character of the middle-aged man who's reading like Rich Dad, Poor Dad or like something like that. Who's like going to start a business and be an entrepreneur and make it rich and blah, blah, blah. And like, no woman was ever interested in that. And like, children,
well, maybe they were interested. They just didn't have the opportunity to express that part of themselves.
Well, no, I mean, I think that was like a contemptible figure that like mocked. And I don't think that women now are like aware that they're going down that same path of like sort of like Arthur Miller,
Death of the Girl Boss.
Yes.
But I think the culture has sort of, the girl boss figure has been like routinely mocked for at least, I would say, the past 3 or 4 years.
Yes, it has, but not in the way that I'm talking about. Like, it's been mocked.
Not in true like Willie Loman, like tragic. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's like, your play. You have to write a play. So
I have to write this play. I have to write Death of a Girl Boss. And it's about a girl boss who jumps in front of a car.
Wait, is that it's been so long since I've read that play. Is that how he dies? He jumps in front of a car? I don't even remember.
I think so. I saw it on Broadway with Brian Dennehy. And he's like going insane. He's like, ah! And then he just like runs out, and then there's like headlights, and someone's like,
oh, yeah.
And I think, and then it's just like his wife like crying at his grave. And then
I
don't know.
I never liked that play that much compared to how some people love it.
I mean, there
was much more of a Tennessee Williams
version of that Irish play that I was talking about.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's good. It's whatever.
And I don't think I didn't see the Brian Dennehy version. I don't think I've ever seen it live, actually.
I mean, the Brian Dennehy one was like a lot. Like, I was like a kid.
Yeah. Cause I wasn't even, it was,
no, you
I wasn't even living in New York yet.
Yeah. But
so Death of a Girl's Girl Boss by Agnes Hewitt, a tone poem Fantasia in six acts.
Tone poem Fantasia. Exactly. I got invited to a play today that's a choreo poem.
Oh yeah, wait, it's not what's the one for Color Girls? It's not there's another choreo poem besides that one.
For Colored Girls is a choreo poem.
That's the only choreo poem I've ever heard about is for Colored Girls.
I didn't know For Colored Girls was called a choreo.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure that that's like the subtitle, like a choreo poem.
For wow. Oh my God, literally, if you Google it, the first thing is a New York Times article that is the title is just the sentence For Colored Girls is a choreo poem.
Okay? So that answers your like question. That answers.
Okay, I didn't know.
Let's move on.
Please.
What was your worst of the week?
Let me see. Okay, I did a goop peel. Okay, so I said I haven't. My skin's been kind of bad. Since I got to New York, I have done almost no skincare at all.
Mm.
And I have been breaking out in new and terrible ways. And I was like, I need to start getting back on my skincare thing. And the first thing I did was a goop peel. And I completely broke out everywhere and I have a dry patch on my skin and I just completely fucked my face up.
Girl, tell me about it. I've been doing too much Retin-A, I think, lately, and I noticed that my skin is like completely red and like insane.
I haven't used Retin-A since I got to New York.
I think it's too powerful for our own good.
It's just that I know I can't be trusted anymore. Like sometimes I just like run out of the fucking house. Like everything has gone to shit since I got here. Like everything is good, but in terms of like skincare, eating,
no.
I'm literally like, I just wash my face with soap and sometimes put moisturizer on. I rarely remember to use sunscreen. And most of my meals are coffee and chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah. You think Chloe Sevigny was using sunscreen in 1994? You think Julia Fox was using sunscreen in 2017?
I actually think they both were, yes.
If you want to be an it girl, you can't. You can't.
They were using sunscreen. They just made it seem like they weren't.
Right. Put on a little. I think a little in the morning is probably good for you.
I'd like to wear a lot. I just forget. I'm like, oh my God, where's my stuff? And I don't know where anything is. My apartment's so small. My old apartment was my bathroom was fucking huge. And we had two of them. So I basically had one all to myself. And the entire thing was full of my fucking products, like drawers and just like full of it. And now it's all on these like two little shelves I have screwed into the bathroom. And some of it's in like some closet, some of it's in my closet with my clothes. And it's just a totally different way of life. And I like forget to pull it out when I go and get ready for bed. I don't know where it is.
And you're just climbing in bed. No care in the world. No. Yeah. Well. Wait.
I have cares in the world, but I.
But not about skincare. Yeah.
Anyway, right. So that was my worst. I broke out from a goop peel. Wow. I was sad. Maybe it should have been my saddest. That was my worst.
Your skin will repair itself.
Oh, it will. It just was sad because it's like, I love that goop peel.
Yeah, yeah. It's they're strong, those things.
They're strong. I think I just like should have worked my way up or something.
Sure, sure.
Or maybe I didn't use sunscreen the next day. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. No, I just do the microdermabrasion one day a week. I think that's all I can handle.
I never do it.
All right. My worst. Speaking about skin, my worst is we got a whole separate email from this dermatologist through Goop called Dr. Dennis Gross, who I guess had been on Goop before, but I was like, you really weren't a whole email. It's not in the Tuesday newsletter. It's not in the Thursday newsletter. It's this whole email that's talking about his Dennis Gross's new 3-minute daily lip treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this, and like, okay, my lips can get dry. My lips can get chapped. These are things I worry about when it comes to my lips. What I don't worry about is smoothing lines and wrinkles and creases on the lips. I mean, I guess like your sort of mustache area or like maybe a little bit, but anyway, this treatment, it looks like, you know, those like old fashioned, like candy lips that you would put on.
Oh like yeah. I've done a lip mask.
You have done? Okay.
It's so just a lip mask.
Well, no, but it like vibrates. It's like a lip vibrator.
Oh.
You put it on, it lasts for 3 minutes and it goes.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to just, let's cut the bullshit. Okay. Because we know it works. Sunscreen, Retin A, and then for everything else, you literally just need to go and get a fucking injectable.
Yeah.
Okay. If you want to get the wrinkles out of your lips and they're already there, you're not going to vibrate them out. You need to fucking get Juvederm and just do it. And it's not on your lips. My issue was always my nasolabial folds.
Mm.
And there's only one thing you can do about it. You know, you can't turn back the fucking hands of time and you can't put on a thing that's going to vibrate. You just have to fucking
Botox.
Fill it in.
Yeah. Well, at least we have materials to do that now.
It's so expensive, but it's so worth it.
I just sent you a 1-minute YouTube video with Dr. Gross and his quote unquote wife talking about the first time they knew they had like a million dollar idea of like his like original like peel or whatever is while she was like giving birth and he like gave her the peel and then they knew that, but it's a very like quirky St. Clair situation seemingly.
Oh my God.
But he, I mean, male dermatologists are truly the freakiest looking people in the world. They go so overboard on everything that makes me never want to do anything to my face because I look at them and I'm like, you are fucking Karl Lagerfeld. You are Jocelyn Wildenstein. Like, you are not human.
Yeah. Wow. These people look disturbing.
They do. They're like, I mean, I go to a male-female married dermatologist duo, but they don't seem quite as freaky.
They don't seem like this.
But maybe they'll grow, because they're probably like, I would say like they're maybe early 40s. Maybe they're a little older.
They're not in their early 40s. No, are you not insane? Not
these people. I'm talking about my dermatologists.
Oh, okay.
But I'm like, they maybe in like 20 years, they will look just as freakish as these people.
I also think that her problem, and I'm sorry, I don't want to be not a feminist or whatever, but I think that she simply was just wearing lipstick that was way too dark for her face, and that will always make you look a little bit insane.
Oh, yeah.
That well, makes she you look a little
she looks severe. Less insane than he does, I think.
Yeah, because she looks like she's aged more naturally than him. Like, he has more fucking filler and stuff.
Yeah, and he has like those like surprised eyes that is like what's the Hale Bopp guy? Applewhite.
Yeah.
He has Applewhite eyes.
Where you can see like the tops of his eyes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Above his iris.
Yeah. So, yeah, I will not be buying Dr. Gross's $148 lip vibrator.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. What's your saddest or your craziest?
My craziest, I literally just wrote down, how has it been 15 years?
Oh, where is the time gone?
But it was the, like, the podcast that I didn't listen to, and just like that, it's Goop has been around for 15 years. It just doesn't feel like that's even possible, but it is.
It was just, she just pressed sent. So she pressed send. She pressed send on an email, and the rest is history.
Yeah.
Wow. My craziest is this fucking, I mean, it's been a while. It's been a while since we got like a truly insane, expensive, just like item that is listed on Goop to buy that you're like, what is this thing? And for the 15th anniversary, we have this company called Found Ray, who designed a Goop flower vase for, it looks just like literally like a plastic cup that you would get if you paid like $4 extra at a baseball game for a beer. But this vase, like this vase is $2,500. It holds a grand total of one flower. And I mean, it looks like a Starbucks, like a Frappuccino cup. But it says, created with the distinguished Viennese glassmaker Laube Mayer, this limited edition vase to signify Goop's 15 years on Earth is mouth blown from lead-free crystal and embellished with archetypal Foundry symbols. So this is like Illuminati shit. Symbols like the golden keys, a nod to the way our birth charts can unlock insights about ourselves, and the four elements, which stand for stability, adaptability, energy, and expansion. And the medallions encircling the rim, they represent key Foundry tenets like resilience, love, passion, dreams, and more. For the full breakdown, click here. And then there's like, oh, there's a whole Bible. It's a religion. There's like a whole giant thing of the symbols of this.
I will join this religion.
This is crazy. This is like, this is a cult. The path to joy. These are devilish symbols. These are tarot cards. This is the work of Satan.
They did have all this like special shit they released for their 15 years.
Did they do that? They didn't do this for their 10 year. Like, why is 15?
I don't know. I think they just have more. They just have a bigger store now. Yeah. Because now they have like all the same stuff that they've had, but they put like flower. They put it in a special box.
I don't like, go to this website, Foundray, FOUNDRAE.com. It's like, what is this? Is this a religion? Is this a vase company? What is this, a portal to hell? Like, I, who knows? All of the above.
Our tenants, necklaces, medallions, bracelets, rings. Our tenants, reverie, internal compass, resilience, love, wholeness, protection, dream, karma, strength.
All I know is none of those words astrological keys are in the Bible.
And then they sell necklaces.
Mm.
I think it's just like a bullshit jewelry company,
I guess, just with
like astrology, yeah, like themes. I think you're all right. I would actually buy some Aquarius shit from these people. Oh my right. God, never mind, it's so fucking expensive.
I'm sure.
Jesus Christ. I mean, this stuff to me, something is like, this is for an Aquarius or something, I feel like it should be $150 or less. Like, that's cheap jewelry to me. If it has to do with my like star sign.
Yeah, you're getting it at a head shop cheap on Melrose Avenue.
But this shit is like $3,000.
Yeah.
They're out of their fucking minds.
I mean, people will buy it.
People will buy it.
And of course, little Gwyneth figured out a way to have like corporate synergy with these people. I mean, this vase, sorry, the vase looks insane. It looks stupid.
Wait, I didn't even see. I'll find the vase.
Oh, yeah, it's on Goop. A very special Foundry piece. It's like literally a plastic cup with one rose hanging out of it. I mean, it's not plastic.
I'm just gonna
it's crystal.
Google Goop Foundry piece.
Yeah. All right. While you're Googling that, let us in on what you would try this week.
Oh, I like the vase.
You do?
I would have called it a vase if we weren't talking. Wait, is it called the Laube Mayer Inner Light?
It is. Does it look like a Starbucks Frappuccino cup?
No,
with
I think
rose hanging out of it?
I think it looks pretty, but I think it's insane that it looks like a cup, and I think it's insane that it costs $2,500, but I do think it's pretty. My prediction is that not one single fucking solitary person will buy that from the Goop website.
I think there's going to be a handful of Goop completists that are like, oh, it's the 15th anniversary.
If I could be anything in the world, that's what I would be. I would be a Goop completist. I would be a bitch who bought every single thing off that website.
You would just like have a direct, you wouldn't even have to press like order. It would just be like anytime Goop adds a product to the site, it would just, whoop, they would just have your credit card number and it would just go, come to your house.
Yes, I would just be like their number one. I would be like the same way people have like every like Beanie Baby, yeah, or like, remember like in, I feel like in the early 2000s, there'd be like always be like a documentary about some old man who had like every single like Coke bottle or Coke advertisement. I would be like that, but it would just be like everything from Goop.
Hey, why not?
I'm a fan of the brand.
No, I think there will be some people that buy this because I obviously am not a vase or a vase expert. So to eyes more knowledgeable than mine, this is obviously a very beautiful piece of crystal. To me, my, you know, plebeian Philistine sense of aesthetics doesn't understand why.
All right. I just think it's pretty, but I don't have any. It doesn't mean anything.
All right. What would you try?
I would try whatever their little method is for cleaning your, for organizing your like beauty products. Because as I said, mine are deranged. I mean, like I have a shelf of just stuff. Then I have a bunch of stuff under the sink. Then I have some stuff in like a closet. Then I have some stuff in another closet. It's kind of all over the place right now. Again, I did move into like a much smaller apartment than I used to live in recently. You know, it's a big adjustment to live here. It's just like things are different. I may just never get back to how things were there. And that's fine. It's just like a different way of life. But I just kind of want a little bit of help, like, because I know that people are doing it. You know, people in New York use fucking beauty products. And I just want to get like a little bit back on track with it.
Yeah.
So I would probably do something with that.
Do you have room? You don't have any room in your medicine cabinet?
I do. I'm a little bit afraid of using my medicine cabinet because once in my old apartment, not the one I just moved out of, but the shitty one that I lived before here, I did see a cockroach in my medicine cabinet. Yeah. Although my new medicine cabinet is like affixed to the wall. It's not like the Candyman kind
that
goes into the other apartment. So I think that was why the other one did, because it was like just like there just like went into like a hole in the wall. But this one, it's like on the wall, if that makes sense.
I think you'll be safe. And like even if a cockroach gets into the cabinet, they're not like getting into the products themselves. Like they're
like
not...
I'm scared to open it.
Oh, I see. Yeah. No, I could.
Like, I don't open my medicine cabinet. And whenever I have to, I do it like really fast and close it.
And then your sink, I guess, is like pretty small too.
My sink is very small. I have like two shelves that I like screwed to the wall.
Okay. All right. Well, it'll be
and
a project.
I just have a bunch of shit on them.
All right. I mean there's not much, but I do these old recipes that Caitlin took from, so it's J Kenji Lopez Alt, I can never say his name, who was like, he's like one of the big wigs on Serious Eats, and he's sort of like a home cook slash food scientist. It's really like in the weeds type of stuff. His recipes are way too complicated to make, I think.
Oh really?
Yeah, they're like, it's always like a million steps, he's always adding all this stuff. It's like he always is like, it's like the most authentic version of whatever, which is like, who has time for that? But the two recipes that Caitlin shared were, because I guess he wrote a cookbook about cooking in a wok. So we have a mapo tofu recipe, which sounds good, and then the one I really would want to try is a Cantonese salt and pepper shrimp.
I saw both of those.
I don't cook,
so it doesn't. I saw that it existed. I didn't even read it because I was like, there's no point. And I knew you were going to talk about it. Yeah.
In the Bay Area this weekend, we ordered Chinese food one night, and like, I just got salt and pepper fish fillet, which I think that's like my favorite Chinese dish now. It's just like fried fish with salt and pepper and like chopped up jalapenos and stuff. It's so good.
Yeah, I've never had that, but I do like the salt and pepper shrimp, which is like the same thing but with shrimp.
Yeah. And you're like toasting the shrimp. I don't know. It's probably a little too complicated. I doubt I'll make it, especially when like every, you know, Chinese takeout place makes it for you. But I'm sure it would taste really good.
I have been eating dumplings from this place down the street called Vanessa's Dumplings.
Oh yeah, that's a good New York chain.
It's so good. We saw a wild fight take place outside of it.
Oh really?
Yeah, this like I can't get into it, but it was there were like five characters.
Wow. I used to live by the Vanessa's Dumpling on 14th Street. It was,
yeah, I think that was like, I think that this is like a, you know,
that's good. That's good.
I like a satellite of it or whatever. This is like their Upper East Side one.
All right. What would you buy?
I would buy, oh, obviously, the new hair mask.
Oh, yeah.
I got an email that was like, we want you to be the first to try this out. And I was like, do you? Because I know that you hate me, but.
Well, at least you got the email. You haven't been blacklisted anymore.
I haven't been blacklisted because they know I still like buy stuff from them. But I really like how my hair does in New York, I must say. It's like just the right amount of humidity. Yeah. Especially like in the summer, but now I know that it's going to get really dry and fucked up, and I'm going to need to like do some shit to it now that it's getting cooler, and my skin and my hair are both going to get wildly, wildly fucked up when the fucking heaters are on all the time. So I may need a very good hair mask. So I may buy it.
This does look lovely. And I think my hair is probably a little too short for it to be worthwhile, but I think especially, yeah, a New York winter with the fucking steam coming out of the radiator. You think your skin's bad now? It's going to be horrible.
Yeah, I always really dry out in the winter. Ooh, so
yeah,
it's going to be fucked up.
But well, Godspeed. I would buy, so Goop came out with like, it's not a real new product. It's just limited edition, like boxes of all of their favorites to celebrate the 15th anniversary.
Yeah, I was just talking about those.
It's really pretty.
I think it's pretty too.
They're like floral boxes. I mean, if I had to choose one to, I don't know. I did buy Vintner's Daughter once, and I will buy it again someday. So I think the Vintner's, that's what I buy. The Vintner's Daughter Goop 15th anniversary limited edition. I mean, what could get better than that? Just perfect.
Can't go wrong with that.
No. All right. I got to get to a movie.
What are you seeing?
The new, literally no one's talking about it. I don't think anyone is seeing it. It's the new Kitty Green movie. Did you ever watch The Assistant with Julia Garner? Or Becoming JonBenet, the like weird like
documentary. Oh, I like that a lot.
Yeah, so this is her third movie after those two.
Okay, that sounds good.
And it's with Julia Garner and some other actor, and they're like in Australia. I have no idea. It's a thriller, I think. But anyway, I'll be by myself in the theater while everyone else is.
Wait, wasn't it Casting JonBenet?
That's what it's called. Yeah,
I really like that. So. Interesting.
Yeah, and like she did that one, and then the last two have been just sort of, you know, narrative. They're not like documentaries like that one, but she, I think she has a really interesting eye and point of view. So everyone will be next door watching Taylor, and I will be by myself watching this.
You'll probably hear the screaming.
I'm sure I will.
All right. Well, have fun.
Thank you. Have a good weekend. And
thanks,
everyone.
You too.
Thank you for listening.
We love you. Thanks for listening.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Bye. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.